Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of The Dragon Cast. My name is Brian Daniels, and I'm back once again with my podcast partner in crime, Victor Salazar. And Victor's all the way over in the right outside of L.A. over there in California. How you doing tonight? How's it going, man? How you been?
Doing great, dude. You know, I live in the city of Lancaster, dude, but the city of Lancaster is still Los Angeles County. Some of the most northernest part of the LA County.
Okay.
Nevertheless, okay. Los Angeles. So, you know, after tonight's game, the LA Rams, you know, are going to the Super Bowl in Los Angeles.
Yeah, baby.
I'm super stoked about that, dude. You know, it's great to have a Super Bowl in the city of LA. It's SoFi Stadium. So, you know, there's a lot of excitement going on around here. So, I mean, we'll jump into that because, you know, it's part of the show, man. But hyped. You know, I love football, dude. You know, we've had discussions on football, but the weekend has been just, you know, LA has been buzzing. Southern California has been buzzing, and we're ready, man. We're ready for some football, man. How about you?
I mean, you know, it's kind of not fair. California was going to get in the Super Bowl either way.
Yeah, you're damn right.
Some of us only get one team. Some of us only get one team. California gets like 20 teams. They got 20 chances to get into all the damn championships.
It's a half the NFL, right? So they're all over here on the West Coast. So it's all good, man.
Somebody's bound to get in. We did have some really great Super Bowl playoff games over the past weekend. We had the two conference championships, the AFC and the NFC championships, both taking place. We had the Rams defeat the 49ers. But we also have the Bengals, man, with the shock, defeating Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, which I wanted the Chiefs to win that game. But nah, I was going
for the Bengals on that one, man. We've had this discussion. I can't stand the Chiefs, especially since they're my AFC West rivals. You know,
well,
my guys.
Mean,
you know what I mean?
That's you. That's you. Raiders. That's you. Me. That's you.
That is me.
But we got some.
It was a shocker, though.
It was a shock because I'm a big Pat Mahomes fan. Not necessarily a Chiefs fan, but I'm a Pat Mahomes fan, and watching him play football is just—he's so incredibly talented. The way he's able to get away from the defensive linemen, him and Joe Burrow both tonight,
yeah, dude,
that's super impressive.
And we'll jump right into the show, dude. So you know, speaking, and we'll start off with the Chiefs and the Bengals. That game was a tale of two halves. Do you not think so? How the first half was just all Chiefs, man. Mahomes, you got to give the guy his dues, man. He's amazing for a reason. He's like a magician out there. He can swivel and he can swerve and he avoids sacks like crazy, dude. He's fun to watch. I'll give him that. He is a fun guy to watch.
Absolutely.
But he was on fire that first half. And then once that first half finished, dude, it's like if a switch just went off and Mahomes did not look good at all, dude. He had like nothing going on in the second half. So what do you think was the cause of that, man? Was it just like on the Chiefs? I'm sorry. Was that all on Mahomes? Was that on the O-line? Was that the defense? What do you think went down with him? Why the shutdown, you know?
I don't know. What was the score at the half? Do you remember? They were up at the pretty half, good,
It was like 21-3 or something along those lines, dude. They were up big, and they were about to score.
What I think tends to happen with these teams is the same thing that happens with a lot of teams, especially my Colts. I'm a big Colts fan. If it's your first time watching this or listening to this show, I am from Indiana. I live in Indiana, and I'm a huge Indianapolis Colts fan. It's from my hometown. And my team has a problem that a lot of teams happen to have a problem with is they get too comfortable. They get too comfortable. Dude. When they're dominating a team. And I think tonight was a really great, it was the largest comeback by a team in AFC championship history, they said. And then it kind of reminded me of one of the Super Bowls that made me the most angry was the Falcons and the Patriots. Remember, they were like killing. They were dominating the Patriots in that Super Bowl. At the half.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then it was just like they came out from the from the halftime, and it was just like they forgot they were playing Tom Brady, for one. And two, they just forgot to play football. And I think that's kind of what happened here was I don't think the Chiefs necessarily took the Bengals as seriously as they should have. And they just kind of came out in the first, or I'm sorry, they came out in the second half and just were, and just kind of got comfortable. And that happens a lot in the NFL, and it happens a lot in sports anyway, is, you know, you have a team who's just like, yeah, man, there's no way in hell we're going to lose this match. And then they lose.
And, yeah, dude, it's one of those deals where it's almost as if the team will play down to the level of the opponent. And you know what? I don't want to knock down the Bengals, dude. Congrats to them.
No, they did an awesome job. Absolutely not. They deserved it.
I don't want to say that. Don't want to knock them down. But let's be real here, though, dude. The Chiefs have been on a tier on their own for years now. And the Bengals just 2 years ago, dude, had like the worst record of the NFL.
Yeah, they were the worst record in the NFL. I mean, yeah, 2 years
ago. Yeah, right. So it's not like, you know, the Bengals have been amazing throughout. I strongly believe they had a couple of good breaks. You know, Joe Burrow brought them back on some great drives. Yeah. And, you know, they got it done. More power to them. Great. But we can't put them on the same level because there's just two different teams, dude. Andy Reid coach team is generally going to be on top, especially when you have someone like Mahomes, you know, quarterbacking. Mm-hmm. So the fact that the Bengals were able to pull this out is just a feat unto itself, dude. It's amazing. It's unprecedented. Yeah. It's unprecedented, right? 18-point deficit.
Yeah, man. The largest AFC championship upset.
And I agree with you with this one. I think maybe the Chiefs they didn't take them seriously, dude. They thought they were going to cruise as they were in the first half. And then they took the foot off the pedal, man, the second half, and they just couldn't come back from that. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I think they relied too much on Mahomes' magic to bring them out, to pull it through, to get them through, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that when he's not on, like on that final drive where they had to settle for a field goal, dude, he took a sack and he fumbled.
Yeah,
you know, that could have been the game right there, but they managed to tie it up with the Butker field goal. But the point being is they're just too reliant on him, even though they got great weapons on that team. And I think it's going to bite them in the ass like it did today, dude.
You know, and the funny part, too, is the Chiefs ended up getting done to them what happened to them last week in overtime.
Yeah,
they got right, remember, dude. They got the which, by the way. I got into a little bit of an argument with some people. I'll ask you about this, about the overtime rules in football. And look, the overtime rules in football, I think that they need to just stay the way they are. And I think that it's games like this that prove that reason. Because, I get that when you get the football in overtime, whoever gets possession first is determined by a coin flip. And you can talk about how that's not fair or whatever. But I think it is fair because it gives each shot a 50-50 chance of having the possession first. But I think that a lot of people discredit a team needing to play the necessary need to play defense in overtime. And tonight is a very great example of why, you know, people always say, oh, well, if my team gets the ball first overtime, it's a guaranteed win. Well, tonight's the example of that. It's not. And you just got to play good defense. And the Bengals played great defense. They got that interception. And they got the field goal and they won the game.
That's right, dude.
They did. Yeah. They did it. And so to all those people out there that, you know, are just like, nah, man, overtime rules aren't fair. They're absolutely fair. I mean, there's two sides of the ball. There's offense and defense. And I know a lot of people, you know, want there to be offense heavy. You know, they want to see people score touchdowns and throw the ball and stuff, but you can't negate defense, man. You can't negate defense. And, there was people I talked to this week that were like, oh, let's just make them play a fifth quarter, another 15 minutes. I'm like, you can't make these guys play 15 more minutes, man. Like,
dude, no, the game's too violent, dude. It's too violent.
It's a contact heavy sport. Yeah. You're going to have people get concussions and the injuries are going to get higher. And no.
And you know what? I do agree with you here. I think that the rules are fine as is. Let's keep in mind, guys, that the rules have been tweaked, man. Remember back in the day when a field goal wins the game and that was over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sweet. That is different. I think that the rules have been tweaked to, like you just said, man, defense matters. Defense matters, especially in the playoffs. So, you know, this is one of those deals where the defense has to step up. They have to take the ball away. You have to show that you can stop the opposing offense, dude.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with the overtime rules as they are now. I think they're absolutely fine. If there's anything that I would change in regards to overtime, dude, is I would maybe give them like a 5 to 10 minute break before the overtime starts. And the only reason I say that is because
I got you.
Because the reason why I say that is because, dude, if let's just say, you know, there was a long ass drive to tie the game with the field goal or a touchdown, and then the coin flip is out there and that same defense is right back on the field right away. That's a little bit, you know, that's like, you got a tired defense, dude. They had no break and you're going right into the next one. Whereas if the game continued, the defense would have stepped off the field and the offense would have taken over. So I would say give them 10 minutes, man. Cut the game, give it a little break, let the defense rest, and then let's flip the coin. And that would be a more even match. That would be a more even tier.
Okay.
You know, because there's a possibility that tired-ass defense is going right back out there.
I can see that.
When you know, generally, it would be the other way around, dude. They'd get off the field, and the offense would have the ball.
I kind of agree with that, too, because I mean, maybe give them 5 minutes. But honestly, I think the way they are now is kind of great because there are people out there who says it's not fair because both teams should have to play both sides of the ball. I don't agree with that because if the defense wants to get the ball, they have to earn it, man. You have to earn it.
And dude, it's you know what? It's one of those
you're not going to please anybody. Like, no one's going to be happy.
Exactly. That's exactly
no
what
one's going to really
you
like
can't please
it.
Everybody. You can't.
They're only going to be mad when their team when their team didn't win. I think, and I'm pretty sure that most of that stemmed from all the pissed off Bills fans who lost in overtime last week when Pat Mahomes played exceptionally well, like he almost always does, and he beat them with a touchdown. And well, it's not. Look, don't get mad at the rules. How about you get mad at your team for having a bad defense and your defense didn't step up? Don't get mad at the rules. Getting mad at the rules is almost as bad as is almost like getting mad at the refs, kind of. I mean, the rules are there.
But yeah, that's right.
Play good defense. Don't want to lose in overtime. Play good defense. It's not like these guys got surprised. Hey, surprise, by the way. These are the new overtime rules. It wasn't like they got caught off guard. These have been the same rules for over a decade now. I mean, they haven't changed them since they stopped them from having to do the field goal thing as the win, you know. But anyway,
real quick, it makes me wonder how much of the people clamoring for the rule change just want to see more football, dude. They just want to see more football. That's what I think it is, as opposed to it being instead of it being a fair flip, a fair 50-50, a fair matchup. They just want more football, dude. If they scored, give me the opportunity to let the other team do it too, just because I want to see more of it. It's so good. Hey, I want to see more. You know what I mean? Hey,
I want to see more football too, but I also got to understand that these guys are human and I don't want them to get hurt. You know, that's why I think we can get away with it in a sport like basketball or baseball. You know, baseball can go on for 20 innings, you know?
Yeah, dude, that's right.
There's not
it's nowhere near as high impact as football is.
It's not a high impact sport. Basketball, you know, there's some contact in basketball, but you're not going to have guys tackle each other or get concussed as much as you see in, like, say, hockey, where they have a shootout. You know, that'd be kind of a neat thing to do. Maybe we can have a shootout in the NFL. Maybe, you know, incorporate some sort of, like, they get the ball. Each team gets a possession at the 30-yard line, and both teams' defense has to stop the other off. I don't know.
That's similar to the college ball. Dude. That's what they do, man. Nope. You know, they just go back and forth until one of the teams one-ups the others. But the rules are fine the way they are, dude. I would just give them a little break. That's all I would do.
They want to get the games over with quick because of player safety, and that's what it comes down to. They want to get the games over with quick. I don't want to stay and watch a football game all night long. I don't care how competitive it is. I don't want these guys to get hurt. That's what I think about more than anything else. But in 2 weeks, we have the Super Bowl. It's going to be at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, California. It's going to be the Rams taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. I want the Bengals to win. A couple reasons why I want the Bengals to win is because, one, they're one of 12 teams who have not won a Super Bowl in their entire history. They went to the Super Bowl in 1988, and I think they took on the 49ers that year, and the 49ers beat them. I believe that was Joe Montana that beat them that year. Don't quote me on that, but they lost to the 49ers, and now they have to take on the Rams, and I want to see the
LA Rams. You got to say
the LA Rams.
Yeah, dude. Well, I'm going to be the LA Rams. The opposite. I'm going to be on the opposite.
The St. Louis Rams.
The in St. Louis right now. I'm going to be on the opposite end of you on this one because, you know, Los Angeles, dude, you got to
support the home team. I mean, I know you're going to say LA.
So we're going to go with LA.
I get it. I don't blame
and you. I'm not. And you know what? I think it's going to be a great Super Bowl.
It's going to be so just, good, man.
We were just talking about tiers real. Oh, I was talking about tiers real quickly. The Rams, dude, that defense is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure
Aaron about Donald, the offense.
Aaron Donald's amazing. I mean, Cooper Kupp is great. Matthew Stafford's
a hell of a wide receiver. Yeah, man.
Matthew Stafford's an up and down kind of guy. So that's where I think that it can be competitive. This can be another great game. I mean, the playoffs this year have just been phenomenal. It's been some of the best football I've ever seen.
These teams have been so damn hungry. They want to win.
Yes.
You know, and I'm going to say this right now, and we're going to get into this for just a few minutes. It's so good to not have Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. And speak of Tom Brady.
Or Patrick Mahomes.
And speak of, okay. Yeah, whatever. But, like, but no, it is kind of good to have two different teams.
I feel you, yes.
Two teams that we really haven't seen in the Super Bowl in a long time, you know? Last time we saw the Rams in the Super Bowl was when they had Kurt Warner, right? That was Kurt Warner.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah, they took on the Titans, I think, that year, and they lost Tennessee. I believe they did anyway, or maybe they won that one. They might have won that one. I don't know.
Kurt Warner out there, dude.
But but the other big news is Tom Brady retired. Is he going to retire? Is he really retired?
That's the question. Is he retired yet? Because I keep hearing these rumors and seeing these things. What did you hear? What do you know?
So Adam Schefter from ESPN, this dude, and this we're going to touch on some sports media here. And for those of you who are listening to our show and you're like, why the hell are you guys talking about sports? Because sports is entertaining. And we talk about entertainment here. And we don't really talk about sports, but damn it, it's the NFL playoffs, and Victor and I love football. So we're going to talk about
We're talking football today.
But anyway, Tom Brady is 44 years old. He will be 45 years old in August. And he said he wants to play football until he turns 45. Well, if that's the case, then he has one more season left of football. However, Adam Schefter of ESPN Media stated that he, his sources confirmed this yesterday. He claims that Tom Brady, after 22 seasons in the NFL, yes, I said 22, that's right, he has been in the NFL as long as kids are able to now drink.
Yeah.
Okay. 22 years in the NFL, and he's supposed to, he says he's going to retire. So says Adam Schefter from ESPN. Well, as soon as Adam Schefter said it, because he's apparently like the god of all sports journalism, everybody else decided to come out and just say, hey, we're all going to say Tom Brady's retired too, except Tom Brady. He has not said this. And I've not been a fan of Tom Brady. some of this has to be is because I'm a Colts fan, but that's not the reason why I don't like Tom Brady. It's not the reason. There's Spygate, Tuck Rule, and the list goes on and on. I don't really care so much about the Deflategate thing. I mean, that was, you know, whatever. I've never liked Tom Brady because he just has no class. He's a tasteless person. He tends to get a lot of calls in his favor. He whined about it.
Yeah, he admitted that, dude. Call. Did you see that?
What's that?
He admitted that. Do you see that? That he gets away with some of these calls with the
Yeah,
refs,
he, well,
he so just
funny
said that this week, I think.
Well, it's so funny because right before his game last week, he had said that he gets away with so many unsportsmanlike conduct calls, and then he gets an unsportsmanlike conduct call, and then he later said that call was bullshit. Well,
yeah, right? You can't have it both ways, bro.
Tom Brady gets away with more shit than a kindergartner does in school. And he's been getting away with all kinds of shit for 22 years. And he didn't get, and that's part of the reason why I don't like Tom Brady. Now, I will say, you can't deny he's a good football player, but I think a lot of that also has to do with how he gets favorited a lot in things. I'm not saying he's like not, he doesn't have skill. He's very talented. There's no denying that the man has talent. He's definitely not the GOAT, in my opinion. I don't think he's a GOAT, in my opinion. There's several people that could be the GOAT, but he's a top five quarterback all time, absolutely. But Tom Brady has not mentioned or has confirmed that he is retiring from the NFL. He actually told his agent, which his agent came out and said that he has not decided on what he does. Now, I want to tell you something. as much as I would love to sing the praises of Tom Brady retiring, and I almost did the day that I saw that headline, I almost thought it was a dream, because I have been waiting for that headline for a very long time. Probably more longer than most quarterbacks last in the NFL. I don't think he's going to retire.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't think so either.
And here's why. I think he's going to do it despite everybody else. I think, and the funny part is, as much as I don't like Tom Brady, I kind of hope he does it. I kind of hope the man says, fuck you, Adam Schefter. Fuck you, sports media. Because if anybody is going to announce my retirement, it's going to be me. And that's how I feel like it should be. Yeah, I want Tom Brady out of the league, and I don't want him to be in the NFL anymore. I'm so tired of seeing the pretty boy's face every time I, you know, watch something about news about the NFL. Tom Brady does this, Tom Brady does that. Tom Brady turns water into wine. Tom Brady walks on water, by the way. And Tom Brady,
in case you guys didn't know, fed
5,000 people with a fish. Look, he's the most
Jesus Christ in the NFL. Yeah.
And this is why a lot of people don't like him, because they talk about him so damn much. But I kind of hope. I never thought I would agree with Tom Brady on anything in my life. I kind of hope he says, fuck you, I'm coming back. And I think it would be really funny to see all these sports media have to backpedal and be like, oops, we fucked up.
Now, I don't think he'll retire, dude, but I'm going to do it for a different, I'm going to say it for a different reason. I think, just like you, like you're saying right now, he hasn't announced it yet. It hasn't come out of Tom Brady's mouth. It's over these sports guys that are all saying that he's going to retire. Yeah. I think he might come up with an announcement, and I think Brady's going to be like, you know what, guys, I got one more year. This is going to be my like farewell
tour. Yeah,
dude, that's what I'm thinking, because you know what, Kobe did it, and you know the NBA was like pulled out all the stops for him every single time he went to a state to an arena to play. And I wouldn't doubt it if Brady would do something like that to, you know, get the praises of the NFL. Oh, this is Tom Brady's last game at wherever, you know, and people are going to pull out all the stops for him. I think he's more capable of doing that than to say, screw you guys, it's done, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, Tom Brady is going to want to do that because he's got a big fucking ego and he wants everybody to praise him.
That's why I'm saying he would do that.
So do you think of all people that's going to miss out on that opportunity, it's going to be Tom Brady? Hell yeah, he wants to walk into a stadium for 18 weeks. You know, 17 weeks because they get a bye week.
Where they all and be like, yes, on the Jumbotron, and they
this
got
is
all
not
this
about
stuff
you,
going on.
This is about me. Bow down and kiss my feet.
and that's what I think he's gonna do, dude.
He's not
I
gonna
think,
miss.
I think that's gonna come up. I think that's gonna be playing in his head, dude. A farewell Brady tour. I mean, come
and
on.
That's what I was. Well, that's what I was telling my wife today. I was like, man, you know what? If he actually does retire, that's. I mean, if I look at it like this. If he retires this way, that's a Tom Brady thing to do. If he retires on a farewell tour, that's an absolute Tom Brady thing to do, because either way, he's either going to be classless and not do a farewell tour, or he's going to be ego as hell. He's going to want everybody to have to make it about him because everything has to be about him anyway. So, I don't know, man. ESPN is they announced like about 4 or 5 hours ago. We record this on Sunday for people who don't know that they are sticking to their guns with their report that Tom Brady's retiring. Well, that just makes me want to hear him say, yeah, my plans for 2022 is I'm going to come back and play one more year.
You heard that, ESPN, one more year, making sure ESPN, Adam, you got this, one more year. So, dude,
I don't know. I mean, I never thought I would say, hey, I'd like to see Tom Brady come back one more year. But when you put, because the problem with journalism in period, because we see this so much in journalism anywhere, whether it's sports journalism, I tend to follow sports journalism and video game journalism very closely. And I see that this journalists want to kind of like control where things go. You know, they want to control the, not necessarily the narrative, but more so like what people do. Like, for instance, very great example of this happening in the video game industry is when the Nintendo Switch Pro was talked about, right? Oh, you know, and then people said that Nintendo was going to make a 4K console. And here I was just like, no, they're not. Do you guys know Nintendo? Do you know Nintendo? When have they ever gave a damn about the best stunning graphics or having their shit look? Mm-hmm. That's not Nintendo. Nintendo has always been like the retro, but like the modern retro console. Like, they still keep it like, you know,
the cutesy stuff.
They keep it cutesy. They don't make things like have to look like God of War. You know, it's they are the one company that's able to get away with, we don't need the best graphics. We just make the best games.
Yep.
And we make great stories. Whereas you got Microsoft, Sony, trying to push, you know, who has the best graphics and, you know, whatever.
Which looks better, right?
Yeah. We don't want to do that. We don't care. So you had journalists that were all like, oh man, Nintendo's making a 4K console, blah, blah, blah. And then they were pushing the narrative to, oh, Nintendo's going to announce on their direct at E3 that they're going to release. We talked about this. They're going to announce the Nintendo Switch Pro. And what did they announce instead? The OLED.
Yep, that's right.
And I was like, I told you so. I did. And I mean, there's so many people I follow on YouTube. You know, Review Tech USA, Angry Joe, Austin Evans, lots of journalists. I forget his name's Tom, but I forget his last name. But I follow him a lot. You know, Jason Schreier, I follow him a lot from, you know, he used to be at Kotaku. Now I think he writes for the New York Times or the LA Times, one of the two. All really, you know, good journalists. And they were all trying to be like, Nintendo's coming out with a 4K. I'm like, they're not going to come out with a 4K console. Like, they're not doing it. They're not. This is not Nintendo. Like, they're not going to do that. You guys are all wrong. And I kept saying, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. And they were wrong.
Dude, and I think it's more of a me first mentality, dude. Me first mentality.
No,
I
it's the mentality.
It's not to push the narrative, dude. I don't think it's to push the narrative because I think that they get information and they'll speculate and they'll hope they're right. So they'll make that jump. They'll say, they're coming with a 4K console, so I'm going to assume.
They want the hot topic, you know?
Because they want to be first. That's what I'm saying, is they want to be the first one to say.
They want the breaking news.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Adam Scheffler right now, dude. He's the first one to say he's retiring. Okay, but is he really? Do we know that? We don't know that yet.
Yeah.
But he's going out on a limb here, you know? And I think that a lot of that happens, you know, in journalism, and game journalism, and anywhere else. They'll take what they know and they'll try to speculate and jump on it to be the first one to say,
they want to,
I said it, dude,
their own spin on the news. And they'll take the littlest gram that they can get from what they find from somebody and one of their sources, you know. And it's like, it reminds me of that E-Trade commercial with Tom Brady. It's kind of funny where, you know, Tom Brady's like,
oh yeah,
trade. And they're like, oh, he's making a trade. Oh, he wants a trade. Where's he? What team's he going to? It's like, no, not like a team. I'm like trading stock.
Yeah, that's like, right. Oh.
That's
ironic. That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
I think it's ironic that's a Tom Brady commercial and that's happening to him like right now. Like
right now.
Ultimately, mm-hmm. You know? But
That's exactly it right now.
That's what happens in gaming industry all the time. You have all these journals in game industry that just want to, like, you know, they want to tell you what they want to be true. And I think half of it is they want it to be true. And because if it's true, then they were the one that said it first. And then when Nintendo flips the script, which I don't think they even were working on a 4K console to begin with, they get disappointed. They're like, oh, how could they lie to us? And they try to make it look like Nintendo's bad. Oh, they lied to us. Those damn liars at Nintendo, like, they didn't lie about anything. You were the ones that made up the bullshit. Creating this false narrative that, you know, something's coming out that doesn't even exist, that no one's even seen or, you know, proved to be true. And it makes
speculation, man. All speculation. And they run it to be true, you know?
Don't take speculation as the truth, Adam Schefter. Like, you know, like... You know,
yeah, and that's where we are now. And that's exactly where we are right now with Tom Brady. So I don't know, man. It hasn't come out of his mouth yet. So I still believe he's going to play one more year. I wouldn't doubt it if he comes back with, let's do a Brady farewell tour, man. This is my last year. NFL, you know, pull out red carpet for every single game I play and, you know, all this other stuff. So shower me with praise is what I expect Tom Brady to come out with, you know?
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about this week before we get to our main topic of the show. You know, I like to collect stuff, Victor. I like to collect things. I have several collections going on right now, and I thought, you know, that you and I could kind of discuss some of the things that we enjoy collecting. What is it that Brian and Victor like to collect? And so Victor, tell me about some things you have in your collection. What are some things you enjoy collecting that you display or what have you?
Dude, I have quite a few, to be quite honest with you. I do have novels. I do have books. I started a light novel collection, believe it or not, dude. Okay. So I started that, but I also have, like, you know, I'm big on the anime community, dude. So I have a lot of anime figures that I have. That I do display. I haven't littered throughout the house, dude. They're like everywhere. So I have some of those that I do display on my Instagram. If you go and check that out, you'll see some of those out there too. But what I like to do, dude. I've always been a fan of something different, something new, or like fan art. I love fan art because I love to see a different perspective of a known character or of a known series. So I collect fan art. I'll see that, you know, I love a different perspective on things, dude. That's what I like. That's why I really like to have these figures that are like different. I love the fan art that shows me different stuff. Oh, I love novels. So I have all of the Stephen King books. I have some light novels, dude, that I started reading more like on the anime side, like ReZero. But that's the kind of stuff I'm collecting now. I mean, then this obsession with collections, man, started back in the day when I was collecting like the X-Men cards, dude. Do you remember those?
Yes.
Those super awesome. Again, and it goes back to the
trading
artwork.
Cards?
It goes back to the artwork, dude. It goes back to the artwork. I love art and I love to see an artist's rendition of Juggernaut, of, you know, Nightcrawler and, you know, Cyclops. And those cards were awesome because of that art was just a pop, dude. It was so good. And I regret that I have no idea what I did with those damn cards. Cause I had hundreds of them, dude, and they're all gone. But artwork, dude, I love it. I love it. So what do you have? What are you collecting? What are you stocking up on?
Well, I want to ask you some questions about your collection before I get into
Talk to me. Talk
so what
to
are,
me.
So what are a few things that you have in your collection that you're just like some of those some of the things you're in your collection that you're most proud of to own?
Most proud of? I would have to say my sword, dude. I got a sword. I have a Rurouni Kenshin sword that I picked up. My wife picked it up for me, actually, several years ago.
Yeah.
And this was when, you know, I first started to really get into that. I'm going to call it otaku life because that's what it is, bro. So I started to get into that and the sword was one of the first things she picked up for me. So that's definitely, you know, that's a dear item to me. So I make sure no one messes with that, but I have that also on display and I have it on a stand and everything. So that sword means something to me. So that's one probably the best piece that I have, dude.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
I'm going to have to display that. I'm going to have to take a picture of that. I'm going to put that up so you guys can check that out.
Do you have anything else that you collect?
Dude, nothing that I can think of right now.
Yeah.
Unless you're talking about like dust or something like that, dude. Dust all the time. Yeah. But you know what? It's funny because I know we were just touching base on that. Mugs, dude. I have a shitload of mugs too, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, I sent you a couple pictures. As a matter of fact, I got a care package still waiting for you from a while back. So I got a couple mugs ready to go out to you. And I got that Spider-Man wall decor. I have all that set up. It's ready to go to you, dude. I just got to verify some things first.
Let's go.
But I have that. So mugs are another thing, dude. Every time I step into like, you know, a store or whatever, and I always check out the mug section because they always have different kinds, and sometimes they'll just pop up and I'm like, oh dude, that's so cool, you gotta check this out, you take pictures of it and whatnot, and I'll pick up quite a few. But My mug collection is just, it's wild, dude. I have too many mugs. I have way too many mugs.
Damn, man.
But they're awesome, dude. They're cool. I think it's a nice little quirk that you can display. You can put them up. You know, I got Raider mugs. I got Mega Man mugs. I got Zelda mugs. I got all kinds. I got Taurus mug. I got all kinds of mugs, dude. And I'll rotate them just to go ahead and display them. I won't use them, but I'll put them up to display. So, you know, it's just one of those things that are easy to pick up. It's relatively cheap. And you know, they gang up on me, dude. I have a lot of those.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I am a very, I have many different collections, but if you were to like combine them all, it's just like one big nerdy collection, I guess. I'm a collector of nerdy stuff. I have a mug collection. Like you.
Nice.
I love, I'm kind of like that in the sense that I love going thrifting. And it's not something I've done a lot recently just because one of the weather, I tend to stay in a lot more during the winter time than I do anything else. But, I love going to thrift shops and, I like going and looking at games. I have a very big video game collection. And so like for me, you know, if you were to go with me to a Goodwill, for instance, I love going to Goodwill, and I usually immediately hit up like the games and media section because I'm looking for books too. Although I don't really read a lot of books, but I have a lot of books. I do have, you know, a few Stephen King books, and a few others that I just haven't even like touched yet that I need to I have a lot of gaming books. Probably one of my most proud discoveries, I'll put it that way, is I have a video game magazine collection. And I went into a Goodwill over by where I live, and I don't have really never really thought to check the, you know, the magazine racks there. And I checked it one time, and I found 10 issues of Nintendo Power magazine.
Oh, nice. I used to collect that back in the day, too.
And they were like in like really nice collectible packaging. Like, we're talking like the kind that you put comic books in, with the board backing, the leafed over like taped plastic.
Nice.
So this was from someone's collection that I purchased. And every magazine was only 50 cents. I'm like, man, I feel like I'm getting a decent steal. And one of the magazines is the debut of the Game Boy Advance. It's a special Game Boy Advance debut issue. And it's like, here's all the release launch games for the Game Boy Advance. I thought that was pretty cool. And then one was Pokemon, which is pretty cool. I think it was the Pokemon Red and Blue issue, the very first Pokemon issue of Nintendo Power, which I have all those tucked away.
Are they in sequence?
Did you check? They are. Some of them are.
Does it have a comic in it? Does it have like this Nintendo Power comic in them? Do you know?
I don't know.
I haven't checked. I haven't flipped through them, huh? Because I know there was a series of Nintendo Power. I forgot what year it was, but there was about four or five that had a Super Mario comic in it.
Okay.
That kind of gave the background on Bowser.
I have to look that
and,
up.
You know, and the kids and whatnot. So I was wondering if you had that set, because
I might have to look at that. That's pretty cool, dude. But these magazines are like in pretty pristine condition, very well taken care of by whomever had them before. So I do have a video game magazine collection. I've got several. I think I have several hundred issues of Game Informer magazine in storage right now. Because the place I live in, I don't have room to display all these. And I don't think I would want to display all of my video game magazines. I mean, I would pick and choose the ones that like have sentimental value or are worth something. And I know I have some Nintendo Power magazines that are worth money. I also collect comics, although I don't collect them like I did when I was a kid. But I think what's really cool is I have every issue of the Cobra Kai comic book series.
Oh, really? Nice.
Which was a one-off. They don't make them anymore. And I had to special order an issue. And that was the first time I ever had to special order a comic. Because what's cool about these Cobra Kai comic books is that they're not like... At least I don't think they are. I could be saying this wrong. If I am, I apologize. But I believe they're all live stills, like they were photoed stills. So they're not like animated or hand-drawn. They're all like taking pictures, and they have the comic bubbles on them and stuff.
Oh, really?
That's cool. I think there's only four issues. And then, of course, I have a video game collection. I have lots of video games. I am actually going for a complete regular Xbox collection, which I currently have like 50 games right now. And here's the thing, when I collect, I don't know about you, but when I collect, especially for video games, my video games have to meet like certain requirements to go into my collection. Like for video games, they have to be complete in the box. I don't collect like the special versions of things. Like, for instance, I don't do the Platinum Hits Edition.
Yeah,
or the Premium Nintendo Hits Select, Editions, because they have that weird. I want the original, like this is like, you know, first print, whatever, of video of a game. Now, I'm not saying I don't ever put those in my collection, because I think I have a couple. Because what a lot of collectors like myself do is, you know, if we can get our hands on a copy of the game,
gonna get it.
Then all we
snatch
do
it
is
up. Yeah.
We get the disc, and then we kind of go online and buy the instruction book, and then you just kind of get the pieces together, and you have your own, you have a complete. I think my most valuable one that I own is a complete in-box version of Ghosts and Goblins on NES. It's like $99.
Nice. That's awesome, dude.
And which I got at a very, very good price from a collector down here. I also have complete in-box Dr. Mario, one of my favorite NES games. I have all of my NES games are complete in-box, except I have two that are loose. I try not to buy a lot of loose games. But all of my Xbox games are complete in box. They all have their, you know, manuals, discs, everything. And then eventually I want to try to get a complete 360 collection. And I believe what's funny is I'm actually trying to go for a complete Kinect games collection, because they didn't make very many Kinect games when the Kinect was popular for the 360.
Yeah, that's right.
And the reason why I like those Kinect games, because they all come in a purple box, and purple's my favorite color. So I think I have half of them so far. I think I'm already halfway through that. And then I have a Sega Saturn game. I have the Power Rangers game complete in box for Sega Saturn, which is pretty valuable.
Yeah, that's a rare one.
I have a 3DO game complete in box called Gex the Gecko. You might have heard of that game. Pretty good.
Yeah, 3DO was good, dude. I love 3DO.
I have that. There's some stuff I've got. I have a complete in box Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back on Atari 2600. It's in like excellent condition. It's almost pristine. I need to have it graded. So yeah, I mean, I love collecting video games. Recently, I got into collecting pop figures.
Yeah, those are cool too, dude. But where are you putting them though? Are you like displaying them somewhere? Are you keeping them in storage, dude?
Or we live in a display. So we live in a small home, like a really small house. And I don't have like room to display all this stuff. So like what I like to do is I like to go to like Five Below. If you've heard of Five Below, the store. I don't know if they have them out there. I'm familiar with that. I like to go in there and get some shelving, just some really cheap like shelving for $5. And I like to, and I make shelving, and I put the shelving up on my on the edges of my ceiling, and I'll display stuff. And I actually found a pegboard, because I'm also collecting, as part of my video game collection, I'm collecting the old Tiger Electronics games. You remember those?
Oh yeah, dude.
Little handhelds. Oh, yeah. So I have several of those already. And I have some in their original packaging still. I want to tell you guys something. If you ever want to do a video game collection, Goodwill is your best friend, because you can find so many things complete in box that they sell for like hella cheap. Like I've got Tiger Electronic was like the big handheld, was a company in like the 90s that made, they licensed so many games. And they made handheld versions of them. So like they used to do Power Rangers, which I have Power Rangers, but they also used to do game shows. So I have a Wheel of Fortune one.
That's right. Yeah.
But complete in the packaging, which is, it's like never been opened. I have Name That Tune.
Name That Tune. Oh, and it's got the plastic wrapping.
And it's like, right? And it's still like in plastic. The plastic's, you know, a little dusty. I have to wipe it up from time to time, but I still have it. And I also have the other one I have is I have this golf game that Tiger Electronics made, and it's like a mini, it's like a mini driver that you have to hold and you swing it. And based on how hard you swing it, it like will show you on the LCD screen, like how well you hit the ball and stuff. It's kind of weird.
That one is weird. I don't think I've seen that, dude.
But I remember them. I'll have to send you some pictures of this stuff. But I have it. It's complete. So what I did was I found a Five Below sells pegboards. And I was like, ooh, I need some pegboards. And so I bought a pegboard. And so I've got my Tiger Electronics games hung up on there, like as if you would go into a store and they would be hanging up for sale.
Nice. Yeah, those are cool, dude. But you can find all kinds of stuff at Five Below, man.
Five Below is a great store. If you don't, if you've never been and you've been curious, go, because they have, they can be hit or miss sometimes, but you know, they're good. Like the one here we go to is really good. I've got some great deals on stuff. And then of course I have my Funkos. All of them except for one. I just picked up one last night. It's in front of me. It's the Mandalorian. It's Mando without his mask on holding Grogu. That's the one I have right now in my hand. And
dude, there's so many series for the Funko ones, man. Is there any particular one that you're looking to complete? Oh, you know what? Speaking of Funko, I'm gonna go ahead and throw this one out here too, dude. Mm-hmm. I recently picked up a Funko Pop too. I picked up the album series, the Metallica one, the black Ooh. Album. It's got all four guys on there with the
pop, really
pop. It does, cool. Dude. It's really cool, dude. I'll send you a picture of it too. I pre-ordered awesome. This on Walmart. It was on Walmart, dude.
Yeah.
I pre-ordered it like months ago and it showed up in the last week of December. And my understanding is like they're sold out everywhere. So I'm really happy we picked it up, dude. But I got that bad boy displayed in my bedroom too. So
nice.
But yeah, I gotta send that one to you. But because I know that there's different kind of Funko Pops, I wanted to know, is there any particular series or genre that you're picking up? Because there's a lot, dude. There's
like a lot of those. I mean, honestly, this whole collection started, you know, I used to work at GameStop and I worked at a place called ThinkGeek, which is a GameStop subsidiary. And I've worked at both. And both places sell Funko Pops. And I never really got into Funko Pops. I've always like been intrigued by them. I think they're really cute. I think they put a lot, you know, Funko puts a lot of detail into these. Like I'm looking at this Mando one right now, man. Like you can see the hilt and this is armor and stuff. This is very detailed. It was a time in my life where I wasn't in the right place, you know, health wise and mentally wise. I just wasn't a good place to start collecting stuff. And so I've been, you know, building up my video game collection. I thought, you know, well, let's do some pop figures. And so one night I was at GameStop and they were selling these Deadpool mystery boxes and they only had one left. And the guy in front of me bought two and I bought the last one. Something just told me to buy it and I bought it. And I actually ended up getting the rare Deadpool Funko Pop that's worth
it. Oh, nice. That's like metallic, I think, right?
No, well, he's one of the rare ones. He's called a Blacklight Deadpool, which means I think he glows in the dark or something like that. But
that's cool,
he's a special edition version of he's artist Deadpool, and he's worth. I paid because I had some trade in credit. I paid $3 for that box, and I ended up with a $50 Funko Pop because that's how much he's worth right now. I have I was pricing out my. The pop collection my wife and I have because that's kind of a collection we kind of share. And I think we have like over $300-$400 worth of Funko Pops now. And we only have like seven. we've been getting very lucky on collecting those. And like for instance, on one of my Goodwill runs, I actually snagged a couple loose pop figures. found, and they were Spider-Man, because I love Spider-Man. And one is Amazing Spider-Man with his mask off, and the other one is with his suit torn, like it was battle-worn. And I ended up finding out 3 or 4 days ago that those are two of the most valuable Spider-Man Funko Pops. And I'm like, what? And I paid like $3 for each one.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You'll find good deals at Goodwill, man.
Yeah, Goodwill, man. Goodwill's the place to go if you want to do collections, do it. But if, as far as series go, if it, there is a series I want to get that I want to collect and complete. That's the Cobra Kai. They did make a Johnny Lawrence one, and I believe they also made a Miguel one. I don't think they made a Daniel LaRusso one, but I found out that they made them, and I want to get them. They're a little expensive, but I want to get them for sure.
But, yeah, dude, like I couldn't get into the Funko Pops, dude. Yeah. I think they're cool and all, and I'd love to display stuff too, dude. So I wouldn't mind picking up a handful of them, especially if they caught my attention, like the Metallica one did. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But there's just so many, dude. Like I think I get discouraged rummaging through boxes and boxes and boxes of them, trying to get the one I want. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Like when you walk over into GameStop, dude, they have like a whole wall full of them, dude, and they're like five rows deep. And they're not really organized.
See, mine's not like that. Mine's like I have. See, at my GameStop, we only have one GameStop real close by, and well, we have two. That reminds me. Maybe I should go to the other GameStop tomorrow and see what they have for Funko. I haven't been there in a while. But the one that I regularly go to and frequent, they only have like maybe 4 or 5 shelves for Funko, and they didn't have a lot. But the Mandalorian one that I got was the only one they had. I was like, nope, I got to get him because he's the only one y'all got. And I want to get him because I love Star Wars too. So, I mean, I'll tell you this. I collect anything like Star Wars, Marvel, DC. And as far as DC goes, it's Batman. I don't really collect anything else but Batman when it comes to DC.
Gotcha. No, dude, man, GameStop has a whole wall dedicated to Funkos. And I'm like, that's way too many, dude. I just can't go through them all, dude. I just can't.
We have a store here called Hollywood Movies and Games. Shout out to them, by the way. If they're listening, the owner, I know the owner, his family, they're awesome. And they opened up a new store here in the town that I live in. That's their second location, and they have like a 20-foot section of Funko, a 20-foot long wall. Of Funko Pops.
that it looks amazing when you
see it. I was like, ooh, I can't wait to go through this. And then the other thing I collect too is I love wall deco. I know we talked about this, like wall art and stuff. And some really great places that you might not know is Burlington. I don't know if you guys have Burlingtons out there, but they're really great for wall deco, for like nerdy, you know, like gaming and stuff. Maurice's is really good. What's the other one that my wife likes to go to a lot?
Yeah, dude, you'll find them like in
Burlington. But there's a lot of really good ones.
Marshalls.
Like a Ross. Yeah, like, Ross. Marshalls. Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. Marshalls.
Yeah, dude. I've gone
in some really great wall deco.
And I'll go right to the wall art, dude. I'm like, oh, let me see. I found some of that, the link stuff I found in there.
Yeah,
I
man.
Picked that up. Yeah. You know, another place too is like Hobby Lobby. I picked up stuff at Hobby Lobby too, dude. So it's like,
yeah,
dude, they're everywhere, and when I see
they're something everywhere, like that, man. Yeah,
like the one I sent you, dude. Like I sent you a picture of the wall art for Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. So when I saw that, I was like, dude, I'll pick one up for you. Which one do you want? But I was in that section at Hobby Lobby where they had gaming art, and it was all up, and they had like those old school comic, you know, covers into wall decor.
Right.
And I was like, ah, dude, this is like. This, I'm like, I want to spend some time right here. Wife, you go do what you got to go do. I'm going to go rummage through all this stuff right here. That'll peak, dude. But
yeah,
it's just like, again, it goes back to art, dude. I love the art. You know, I just love it.
Yeah. But, and then I have, you know, I try to get shirts and mugs and, you know, but as far as what I actually collect, I mean, it's really anything nerdy. My biggest collection is by far and away my video game collection, which I've had to kind of stop because we just don't have room. We're actually going to buy a bookshelf this week so we can make some more room for some stuff.
I'm with you with little quirks and little nerdy stuff, man. Because I got that stuff all over the place. Like even today, man, I picked up a Jack and Sally's salt and pepper shaker. I just picked it up because it looks cool. I have a Cuphead pen staring me right in the face right there, just because, you know, that's what I got. Yeah. Got a ReZero book line around here somewhere. I got a calendar coming around over here. It's like all these little knickknacks, dude. Like when I see them, I have a Cowboy Bebop mouse that I just picked up not too long ago too, because, you know, it's just there. It would look cool. I was like, I got to have that. So, you know, small little trinkets like that are things that I think that really show you, or show your personality to the people around you, you know, when they kind of just walk in or they go into your office space or whatever, and they see the little knickknacks, you're like, oh, dude, you like this, you like that, you like all kinds of stuff because you got so much stuff in here. So I like picking up little trinkets like that, dude. Those are cool, dude.
I think the most fun things to collect are the things you're not looking for that just like find you. You're not looking for exactly. It finds you, you know, like, and that's what I think is always fun. Like, I'm going to try to visit California hopefully this year, and I want to come to LA because I want to go thrift shopping with you.
Oh, and I want, you're gonna find so much stuff
out, and I'm gonna probably want to spend a ton of money.
But there's so many stores out here, dude. So many thrift stores.
I love going to new towns and doing their Goodwills, and like when we first came down here, we went to Louisville, and their Goodwills look completely different. It's like a stark contrast between Indiana Goodwill and Kentucky Goodwill. And Kentucky Goodwill's got some really good stuff there. And definitely a lot different on the pricing. Like, I'll say this, in Indiana, well, it depends on where you go, but at least in Southern Indiana here, the video games are expensive. Well, they're expensive, I guess, compared to what they should sell for, if you want to go that route. But there are some games I'm like, do I really want to spend $7 on this game right now? Like, no.
Yeah, you know? I hear you.
So, but there's just so many things. And I'll tell our listeners right now that I am going to be starting a series, which should be coming out this week, called Brian's Nerdy Collection. It's going to be everything. I'm going to be showing off each episode some cool things in my collection, so you guys will be able to see the stuff that I'm talking about. You'll see the Nintendo Power magazines. You're gonna see some of my pop figures. You're gonna see some of the games that I hold most to me in my video game collection, and many other little trinkets that I've accumulated along the way. So that's gonna be on the Domain YouTube channel, the Domain Gaming Pop Culture Entertainment. We just call it the Domain. And so be on the lookout for that. That's going to be starting hopefully sometime this week. Speaking of the Domain, our website is now live-ish. We have a little countdown clock. You can go to the domain, gpce.com. Got a little countdown clock counting down to when our site goes live.
Super. I love it, dude. It makes it feel real. It's almost there.
We have a website. We got a
visual now.
It is a thing.
So that's awesome.
You can go see it. But you're just going to have to wait a little bit longer before you explore it. And the good news is we're going to have a pod. I've been working on it today. I think I spent, Victor, 5 hours on the computer today. Just was building out stuff. And we're going to have a podcast section where you'll be able to listen to our show from our website. You don't have to go anywhere. You just go to our website. Listen to our show. Also, we might be talking about my buddy Josh Shaver, who has been streaming with me on Twitch the last couple of weeks. He might be starting a wrestling related podcast, because we're going to be launching, when our website launches, the Domain Podcast Network. And so if anybody is looking to have their podcast hosted and promoted and things like that, you'll be able to do it through us at the Domain. So look be on the lookout for that as well. That'll be under our domain, domaingpce.com/podcast page, which will be up and running when our website launches later in March. And then, of course, you know, this show is going to be, the Dragoncast is going to be ending in March, but it's going to really kind of not really necessarily be ending. It's just going to be more like a transformation into the Domain Cast or something of that nature.
It'll be a rebranding.
What's probably going to happen is we're going to create an entirely new page for, you know, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc., for people to come to and listen to our domain show, basically. So be on the lookout for that in March as well. So you're going to have content from Victor, myself, Kona, Eric, my wife, Raven. All of us are going to have something to contribute to this website too. Andrew, former podcast partner in crime as well on here. But speaking of Spotify, that's going to lead us right into our main topic for this episode. So, Victor, there has been some controversy going on with Spotify in regards to the Joe Rogan Experience. Not necessarily a podcast that I really care to listen to for a variety of reasons. But basically what's been going on is Joe Rogan has been notoriously known for providing lots of false information in regards to the COVID-19 pandemic. I don't know if you know how much you've been paying attention to that whole thing with regards to him, but he's kind of, you know, been providing false information, and you know, he's a very anti-mask. And so Neil Young, very successful singer-songwriter, took to his social media to basically say, look, it's either going to be me or it's going to be Joe Rogan, but Spotify, you can't have both. Basically giving Spotify an ultimatum to say, hey, look, you're either going to keep me on Spotify or you're going to get rid of Joe Rogan. Because if you don't know, the Joe Rogan's podcast called The Joe Rogan Experience is exclusively on Spotify, and I'm sure they make tons of money because of that. And so Spotify answered by going ahead and taking down Neil Young's all of his songs off of Spotify. And then followed up by Joni Mitchell. She also had all her music removed in protest of Rogan's podcast, as well as Nils Lofgren, which excuse me if this might make somebody mad. I've not heard of Nils Lofgren. If I should have, I'm sorry. But they have all had their music recently removed from platform in protest of Rogan's podcast. He has suggested such things that healthy people don't need the COVID-19 vaccine, along with being very anti-mask. And I kind of want to know, this has been a big deal. This has been talked about a lot this week. I'm kind of curious, how do you feel about this? About, you know, the reason why these artists are doing this is because they feel that Spotify has some sort of accountability when it comes to the information or what they allow to promote on the platform. How do you feel about this, Victor? I'm curious about your thoughts on Spotify not removing Joe Rogan's show and leaning more towards favoriting keeping his show on the platform versus taking off these people on Spotify.
Yeah, dude, that's a very tricky subject. It's a very slippery slope. Personally, this is my opinion on the whole thing, dude. Joe Rogan's not a doctor, so why are people even listening to this guy in terms of medical advice? Because he's been at it for a while now.
Right.
But the thing here is, it's Spotify itself. Like you just said, man, Spotify seems to be favoring Joe Rogan over the music. And that's where I really have an issue here. I mean, you have a platform here. Spotify does have, how do you say this? They have a duty to be able, the duty to oversee what content is being displayed on their platform. I get that. You don't want to spew hate. You don't want to, you know, have anti-Semitic comments and things like that. So you have that obligation to your listeners to make sure you don't have that stuff on there. So this is the question. Does Joe Rogan fall under that category? Would you say that he's falling under that anti-whatever? Is it pushing that border, or is it even into that area where people should now, or Spotify should say, hey, you know what? I think he crossed the line here. I think we need to remove the podcast or give him a warning or censor it or whatever the case may be. But the fact that they went ahead and removed the music is what irks me, dude. I don't like that. the fact that that they're saying, right. "Hey, man, you know, this is it's just I don't like that. It's such a gray area, dude. But that's where it falls. It falls in that gray area where Spotify needs to make the decision, or it looks like it seemed they made the decision as to whether or not Joe Rogan's podcast falls under the, hey, this is anti whatever, we need to censor it, we need to block it, we need to do something about the show, as opposed to I'm going to remove all my other content so the show can stay as is. That's where I have an issue.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, this is a very unique situation, especially for us to discuss on this show, but it does have to do with entertainment, and Spotify is a big medium that provides entertainment. I mean, hell, there's probably some of you listening to us on Spotify right now. We promote Spotify, which I think because of this issue, I've been really contemplating whether or not we even promote Spotify anymore on the show. But, you know, there's tons of other places you guys can listen to us, which we're going to get to that in a second. But as far as this particular situation goes, you know, I don't like it. I don't like it in the sense of they went ahead and took the music off. Because was there, what I'm curious about, did Spotify just say, okay, we're going to take your music off? Or was there a conversation? Because I think it's on Spotify to say, whoa, hold on. Let's not go into taking off a person's, an artist's music. Because if an artist, now I will say that me personally, of the three names mentioned, I am more familiar with Neil Young. I'm not familiar with Joni Mitchell. I'm certainly not familiar with Niles Lofgren. If you're listening and you are, and that makes you mad, I'm sorry. But I'm very familiar with Neil Young. If Spotify was just like, all right, well, screw you, we'll take your music off, then that's bad. That's not good. Because I would hope that Spotify would have at least had the decency, okay? Note that, the decency, to reach out to these artists and say, hey, let's have a conversation about the issue. Let's not have you do something so drastic, such as say, hey, it's him or me. Let's have a conversation about this. And I don't think that that happened because of how quick that Spotify was to remove all three of these artists' music. You know, was anything said to Joe Rogan? That's what I want to know.
And that's the thing. You know what? We touched base on this whole entertainment aspect. Keep in mind that, again, Joe Rogan's podcast is entertainment. You're listening to a guy to entertain yourself. Now, if he's not, again, he's not a doctor. So if there's anybody out there that's taking his words, his medical advice as an actual medical advice, that kind of falls on you, dude. You can't do that. It's almost like saying you got to, man, because that falls. You can't baby everybody. But again, this is why I say Joe Rogan falls in that gray area. There's a certain, I'm going to call it poison, dude. There's certain words that can poison minds. And is that what he's doing? Is he corrupting? Is he saying something that the masses are believing that are now causing a bad thing? Okay. And if that's the case, then that's where I believe Spotify needs to step in and say, hey, dude, you're a detriment right now. You're not doing, you know, your civic duty. You're giving wrong information. You're causing a mass panic or whatever. I'm just using that as an example. So you got to tone it down, but that falls on Spotify to let him know. Like you just said, dude, the fact that Spotify went ahead and removed the music so quickly without even a hint of having a conversation with Joe Rogan is what really rubs me the wrong way, because this is something that should be, at the very least, I would have loved to have seen a statement from Spotify saying, hey, we heard you. We know that there's something going on here. There's some musicians out there that have expressed discontent with the show and what the message is about. We will be looking into it further. We'll have discussions and we'll fill you in as to how we're going to proceed. That would have been cool. I didn't see any of that. Nothing like that, dude.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. I know you want to say that it's on the person listening, and partially it is on the person listening, but I also believe it's on the person making the statements and their influence. Now, I'll tell you this. If you and I start talking all kinds of mess about COVID and saying things, the vast majority of Americans or people in general aren't going to listen to us because we don't have as much influence as someone like Joe Rogan does. So what people have to understand is, you know, people are going to say, oh, but free speech and censorship. I get that. Look, I get it. But with everything has to have its limitations. That is what I'm a believer in, is everything has to have a limitation to it, right? Even drinking too much water can kill you. It's a fact. It's a known fact. Okay.
Yeah.
Too much of a good thing is a bad thing. Too much of a bad thing is a horrible thing. All right. So we have to have limitations put in place, which is why we have laws, et cetera, and all that shit that we deal with every day. And a lot of things we don't deal with, we don't think about, right? We just do it. And this would be different if this was like you and me saying this stuff, where we don't have a big influence. We're not very well known. I'm not saying that us doing it doesn't matter or isn't bad, but we're certainly not going to be as detrimental as someone like Joe Rogan, who does have a voice and an impact and a big mass following of people. And, you know, I mean, the man, let's see how many Joe Rogan, Twitter, how many followers does he have on Twitter alone? I mean, this guy has 7.8 million followers. Okay. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people that are listening to him. And now I don't know about, I can't say that all those people that follow Joe Rogan listen to Joe Rogan on Twitter, but take half of that. That's about 4 million people right there that probably listen to Joe Rogan. I don't know what Joe Rogan's Spotify stats are. I mean, let me see.
No, I'm pretty sure they're through the roof, dude. It's like one of the most popular shows out there right now, dude.
Yeah, he's got, it doesn't say, it doesn't give me a number. But I can only imagine, okay, that he has a lot. Over a million listeners, there we go. 11 million listeners, there we go. It's right here.
Yeah, that's a lot, dude, yeah.
Okay. He has over 11 million listeners. By far, it's most popular podcast on Spotify. He has signed a multi-year $100 million contract in 2020 with Spotify. Okay. Now, yes, that is a dangerous person. That is a person that has the potential to be dangerous with what they say. And I agree with you in the sense of, yeah, you know, the person at the end of the line listening has to decide what they do with it. It's still also on the person saying it and making statements like, you know, masks don't matter, or, you know, vaccinations don't work, or take horse medicine. Or this, you know, they're not a doctor. You said it yourself. They're not a doctor. So who are they to be giving medical advice? They're nobody. So, you know, I think it's a very big tell that for Spotify to just go ahead and say, well, okay, buy Neil Young and whatever. This kind of tells you who they care more about. They care more about making money. And of course they're a business, but where are their ethics?
Yeah, and that's exactly right.
Was there a conversation with Neil Young? Was there a conversation with Joni Mitchell and the other one? You know, do they have conversations with these people, or they just say, okay, well, bye. Joe Rogan's you're not making us $100 million, you know, whatever. You're not making us millions of dollars. Do you have 11 million listeners a year? No. So buy. Take your business elsewhere. Now, I'll tell you this. I don't think this is going to stop. I think we're going to see more artists leave Spotify, because Spotify is losing subscribers now. They're losing subscribers so much so that Spotify doesn't have customer service anymore. They no longer have live customer support. They are getting an automated message, and they are now making it almost next to impossible. I'm reading another report you don't have for people to cancel their Spotify account. 270 doctors and scientists have signed an open letter calling for Spotify to prevent the spread of misinformation through the podcast. And I will tell you something, if this pandemic hasn't shown us anything, is that misinformation absolutely matters.
Yeah, it definitely does.
It does.
And you know what? I'm going to read something real quick too from the Huffington Post, okay? Because this is something that, you know, Spotify is trying to make face of what's going on over here and say, hey, we have this policy in place. Check this out, okay? Just to read an excerpt from this article from the Huffington Post. A quote, the company also said it's making public its longstanding rules for podcasters. These rules include a ban on content that promotes dangerous, false, or dangerous, deceptive medical information that may cause offline harm or poses a threat to public health. And it specified COVID-19 in several instances. So I end that quote. So if Spotify already has this policy in place that's going to ban podcasts that are misinforming the people, why hasn't Joe Rogan been banned? Why is he an exception to this? What exactly is going on there that they're saying they have a long-standing policy, and yet this guy's just, you know, he's running his mouth and it's okay?
Well, it's because he makes some money, Victor.
Yeah, I understand that, and I get it.
They don't care about the rules. The rules are not for everybody.
You can't reiterate the policy after all these doctors are coming out saying, dude, what the hell are you doing? You can't have that coming out there. And then you come back with this. Yeah. That's your answer to this?
Yeah.
I mean, Spotify CEO, who is this guy? Daniel
so I Eck. Think what's so I mean, I think,
come on, dude.
So here's what I think is going to have to happen. It's going to have to take somebody like Taylor Swift, somebody big in the music industry.
Dude, Neil Young is pretty big, dude.
No, I know Neil Young, but you have to understand, it's going to have to take someone that the younger generations can kind of, you know, because you have to understand, not many people still know who Neil Young is, right?
No, yeah, that's true.
But when you think of Taylor Swift, you know that everybody knows who she is, whether you like music or not. So if Taylor Swift were announced tomorrow, hey, you know what? I have decided I'm going to also pull all of my music from Spotify. It's going to have to take some very heavy hitters for Spotify to say, oh shit. Joe Rogan has 11 million listeners, but you know, Taylor Swift, I'm sure she's got more than that. And I bet her, combine her with Neil Young and Joni Mitchell and all these other people, something Spotify is going to be like, okay, you know, what's it going to, so you, and I know we said that, we haven't said this yet, but Spotify's decision, their answer, if you will, all this, is they are going to put like basically a parental advisory thing on there, like they do with explicit CDs back in the day, because that stopped teenagers from buying them, apparently. So they think it's going to stop people from listening to Joe Rogan's experience.
That's just a half-assed Band-Aid is what that is.
That's a Band-Aid.
If you have a policy that's supposed to ban people from spewing out misinformation, especially when it comes to health matters and health issues, so having a parental advisory on the show does not make it okay. You're still going against your own policy here, dude. So it's like, I don't know, man. Spotify's got to take a look at what the hell it's doing right now. It's rubbing me the wrong way, and I'm pretty sure that it's rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. And I wouldn't doubt it if we start seeing a couple of more artists come out here and say, hey, dude, that's wrong. You have to start fixing that. And Joe Rogan's like, he's not even getting I don't even know how to phrase this. Like, Spotify ain't doing shit to Joe Rogan. They're more punishing the people that are behind the music, which is just baffles me, man. It baffles me.
Well, I'm going to tell y'all something. If y'all were looking for a way to transfer your Spotify playlist over, this is not a sponsored thing. I'm just telling people because I did it today. I'm moving my stuff from Spotify over because of this. Because I can't support a company that's going to allow someone to spread misinformation like that. There's a really great place called Soundiz. It's Soundiz. And it will allow you to log into all of your accounts, whether it's on Tidal. I'm using Tidal right now. Tidal, Apple Podcasts, all of them. You can log into all of them. And it will allow you to convert your playlist from one place to another. So like today I was able to convert my entire Spotify playlist from Spotify to Tidal. So it's easy. It's smart. It doesn't really, I mean, you can do it. Now they do have Soundis Premium, which I think lets you do that unlimited amount of times, but I do recommend doing that if you're thinking of switching over. But I'll tell you this, nothing's going to happen with Spotify until we get more artists, more big, heavy hitter, prominent artists like Taylor Swift, that, and she would be the one to do it. That's why I say her, because I could definitely see this being something that she would do, because she already had issues with Spotify anyway in the past. So I could definitely see her making some sort of announcement this week. And if it happens, you heard it here first, that she's going to sit there and say, you know what, I've had enough of Spotify's bullshit too, and this whole Joe Rogan thing, so I'm going to move my music off here too. And once that happens, then Spotify can't just keep putting a band-aid over it. They're going to have to do something, because look, we can't let this misinformation spread. This is dangerous. We can't let these celebrities use their voice to, you know, to spread all this false information. We're trying to get through this pandemic. You know, we're getting there. But when you have people like him who are using their voice to make the situation worse, we can't have that happen. I kind of hope to see more artists speak out about it. So who knows, you might not even see the Dragon Cast on Spotify anymore. Come March when we switch over to domain, because look, it's not like we need Spotify. You know, we don't gain anything from being on Spotify. So we might just, you know, to hell with them and go to stay on the other ones we're at right now. But speaking of, we do appreciate all of you. That is all the time we have today for this episode of the Dragon Cast. Thank you all so much for listening to us on the podcast platform of your choice, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Also, wanted to make this announcement. Victor, you don't know this yet, but this week we are going to be on iHeartRadio. Nice. And we are also going to be on Stitcher. So if you want to find out all the podcast platforms we are on, you can go to Linktree. You can go to our Linktree page. That's linktr.ee/the_domain or _DragonCast, sorry. And those links will be up sometime this week to go listen to us on Stitcher and iHeartRadio. So two new places to listen to our show. Other than that, thank you guys for giving us a listen. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We got plenty more to come in the coming weeks, and then we're going to be leading up to our first episode of the Domain Cast, where we're gonna have pretty much everybody here on that show.
Yeah, right. That'll
it's
be
gonna
fun.
it's gonna be a crazy one. But other than that, thank you guys so much for listening. Until next time, we'll see you guys. Take it easy.
Later.